The Golden State Warriors are the 2015 NBA champions. Their first title in 40 years.
For the first time since 1954, the Giants are world champions.
And you tell them one thing, just win, baby.
I'd say it's today's golden days.
Just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, 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 golden.
Bay's Golden Days. I'm Marcus Boucher, and welcome back to another week of NFL coverage right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast. 14 weeks of the 2017 NFL season are in the books, and we have our first division champions of the season as the AFC North and the NFC East have been won by the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Philadelphia Eagles. But it's not all golden for those Philadelphia Eagles as they have lost their starting quarterback, Carson Wentz, with a torn ACL for the rest of the season. We're going to go ahead and talk about that game and every other game from week 14 of the 2017 NFL season before moving on to week 15 of the 2017 NFL season as we break down every single matchup and game by the point spread in our weekly betting segment, Straight Cash, homie. But this is the Bay's Golden Days. We're 14 weeks into the season, and you knew the routine by now. We talk about the Raiders to start off the show, and unfortunately, the Raiders blew a huge opportunity, losing to the Kansas City Chiefs in a huge division game in Kansas City. Let's just hop into the embarrassment that was week 14 for the Oakland Raiders.
This game is played in quarters. NFL's fourth quarter is upon us. Things didn't look so pretty for the Raiders midseason, but a little adversity may have just awakened the beast.
Beast mode! Let's just go!
So here we are in week 14, behind enemy lines.
It's time to go, baby!
We control our destiny, face to face, with a rival we love to hate. The last time these two played, heroes revealed themselves in the moments that mattered most.
It is caught for a touchdown by Michael Crabtree!
Ready for round two? The AFC West crown is there for the taking, because the games they remember are played in December.
Yes, the games to remember are played in December, but unfortunately for Oakland Raider fans, we do not want to remember this game in December because, as the preview said, this game's played in four quarters, but the Raiders didn't even show up until the fourth quarter as they got absolutely embarrassed this weekend by the Kansas City Chiefs, 26-15, but 15 of those points came in the fourth quarter, a little bit of garbage time, so really, we got our asses whooped, 21 skunk, and it was an absolutely embarrassment in a deciding division game that could have elevated us into first place in the AFC West, and no, now we fall a game back of those Chiefs and those Chargers. Pretty much kill ourselves in the race for the AFC West unless a couple crazy things happen with the Chargers and the Chiefs the next couple weeks, but we are still only one game out of the wild card, so let's go ahead and talk about everything that went wrong for the Raiders and the Chiefs this weekend as they lost in Arrowhead. Let's start the game off in the first quarter, and it started off on the wrong foot because on the Raiders' first possession of the game, they ended up going three and out as Derek Carr gets sacked, and then on their next three possessions alone, it's all punts. Three and out, punt. Punt, 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 while the Chiefs, on the other hand, come out. They score not only on their first possession, but their first four possessions of the game. They get the game started off with a first quarter field goal to put them up 3-0. By the time they get the ball back for the second drive, they go 86 yards in 14 plays after converting on a long 3rd-and-16 to Tyreek Hill. Yes, we've known all season long about 3rd-and-long for the Raiders being able to stop teams, and we could not stop anybody today. Next play, what do you know? Travis Kelce gets hit on a beautifully described tight end screen. We saw misdirection. Tyreek Hill running one way, a wide receiver screen on the other way. Next thing you know, you got Travis Kelce after he put a nice chip block on Khalil Mack, catches the ball, scores a touchdown after weaving through. It was actually reviewed. They call him down at the 1 yard line, and Kareem Hunt punches in the touchdown. But I thought that was one hell of a great play, and I'm going to compare it to what our offense coordinators have been calling all year with our dink and dump screens that no one's falling for. This was a perfect example of getting misdirection and not knowing where the ball's going, and obviously it fooled our defense and it worked for the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs as they scored a touchdown to go up 10-0. They would put up another field goal in the second quarter before the Raiders were able to get any momentum on any drive in the first half alone. And the one drive that they did get a momentum, well, guess what? As we were driving into Kansas City territory, Derek Carr tries to scramble. He tries to extend the play. He lobs the ball up after he gets hit in the arm. The ball's floating for what feels like an eternity. I'm yelling at the TV, Crabtree, bat it down, Crabtree, bat it down, Crabtree, bat it down. And no, it floats right into the arms of a Kansas City defender, and they get the ball at their own 20-yard line, take points off the board, and they're actually able to drive down before the halftime and put up another field goal, and they're up 16-0 at halftime. Let's just skip straight into the third quarter now, and Kansas City starts off the second half with another field goal to go up 19-0, and surprise, surprise, the Raiders offense goes 3 and out again. Luckily, though, this is where the tide started to change a little bit, where it seemed like the Raiders might have had a chance to get back into this game, because Kansas City then goes 3 and out themselves, and the Raiders finally get their first punt of the day. Yes, it took until the third quarter for the Raiders defense to force the Kansas City Chiefs to punt, and guess what happens on the very first play for the Raiders offense? Oh, we complete a pass to Johnny Holton, and he fumbles on the first play. Kansas City recovers, and there's actually rumors that the Kansas City defense was saying, hey, let's let Johnny Holton catch the ball. We'll hit him after and make him fumble. He's not physical. I guess this guy didn't even play contact football growing up as a kid, so they said, hey, let him catch it. We can make him fumble. Johnny Holton has had a few fumbles this year, and the Kansas City Chiefs recovered and got another one. But what do you know? On the very next play, Alex Smith throws one of his rare INTs to Carl Joseph, and we got back-to-back turnovers, and I'm just hoping for some type of momentum change because we finally got Alex Smith and the Chiefs to turn the ball over. But nope, the Raiders cannot capitalize and again go 3 and out. What do you know? Next thing, Kansas City comes back led by Kareem Hunt and Jacarnik West for another touchdown, and Kansas City goes up 26-0 going into the fourth quarter. Then we get to the fourth quarter, and the Raiders offense finally starts taking shots downfield. Marshawn Lynch breaks off a 22-yard run, and he gets into the end zone for a touchdown, and we're only down 26-7. Next thing you know, the Raiders recover an onside kick and score again in four plays when they get lined up in a 4th and 7 situation, and Derek Carr hits Jared Cook deep down the middle for 29 yards. Then we added on the 2-point conversion, and we're down 26-15. I thought Jared Cook should have been used a lot earlier in this game because their first matchup against the Chiefs, Jared Cook torched them, but nope, that's just another head scratcher for our offense coordinator Todd Downing. But trust me, I'm gonna get into a huge rant once this is all over, because once we went down 26-15, the Raiders decided not to onside kick. A little bit of a head scratcher there. It paid off because Kansas City punts the ball back, but they ended up killing 4.5 minutes of clock, and that only leaves 2 minutes left on the clock while the Raiders are still down 11 points, 2 possessions, gotta get into the end zone. And as the Raiders are driving into Kansas City territory, Derek Carr goes deep to Johnny Holton, and Johnny Holton once again with a costly turnover because the ball hits off his hands, bounces into the air for another KC interception, and the game is over. And this was just truly embarrassing. Like I've said from the very beginning, 26-15, no points up until the fourth quarter. How did we get shut out in 3 quarters by the Kansas City Chiefs? The Kansas City Chiefs, who are damn near last in passing defense, damn near last in rushing defense. How is this possible? Todd Downing, I've been calling for your head all season long, and there's no better example than after this game to fucking fire Todd Downing. How do you mess up a play calling when you had the whole entire game plan already set up from when you won 31-30 early in the year? We put up 30 points against them the first time we played them, and we put up over 500 yards in that first game. In this game, we had 15 points, 250 yards. How do you cut the points and the yardage in half? What happened to that game plan from week one to Kansas City? I mean, this is terrible. I mentioned Travis Kelce's screen touchdown pass, and then I talk about the screens that the Raiders are running. Andy Reid and the Kansas City offense made our offense look like a fucking Pop Warner team. It was pathetic. All these easy screen passes where you know where the ball's going. When they line up, you know a run's coming. When they don't run play action, hell, Amari Cooper was injured coming into this game, and you're going to call a wide receiver screen that has Amari Cooper out front blocking? He doesn't even have an ankle. He can't push anybody. He can't block nobody. What are you doing? And surprise, surprise, he gets rolled up by his own guy, and he's back out of the game. So now we don't even know how long Amari Cooper's out for. But God damn it, Todd Downing, I am sick of you. I've been calling for you to get fired all year long, and obviously Jack Del Rio doesn't want to do that because he just fired Bill Musgrave last year for Todd Downing, so he can't fire the guy that he promoted for the guy he fired just a year ago. But God damn it, Todd Downing, I've mentioned it so many times on his podcast. You took us from a top five offense to a bottom 10. How are we scoring more than 10 points less per game than we were last year? Derek Carr, yes, I know a lot of blame goes straight to the quarterback too, but Derek Carr was progressing for 3 straight years in a row. Now Todd Downing becomes offensive coordinator and he's regressing for the first time ever. I don't understand it. Derek Carr got paid all this money and everybody wants to come and say, hey, look at his interceptions this year. Well, hey, I've talked about every interception on this podcast this year, and I can guarantee you at least half of them has been tipped off other people's hands, have been tipped up in the air. People can't catch. We had 3 more drops this weekend. Our wide receivers aren't catching balls. Michael Crabtree was dropping a bunch of balls this weekend. Everything is just looking terrible. I don't understand it. We went from a top 5 offense, added Marshawn Lynch, added Jared Cook, added Cordarrelle Patterson, added all these weapons, and we're a worse offense? How? How is that possible? How does this even happen when we've already beat the Chiefs earlier this year and our offense was looking unstoppable? We put up 30 points, 500 yards, and now we put up half of that? Todd Downing, you are fucking embarrassing. God damn. I don't know what's going on with the Raiders and Todd Downing. He's going to make it to the end of the season, apparently. I don't think so, because how do you validate this? How do you go from a team that we put up 30 points and over 500 yards with their best corner, Marcus Peters, now out of the game, and you put up half those yards? Where was the play calling? I think Derek Carr didn't even throw the ball down the field 10 times. He only had 7 passes deep down the field. Where is the play calling? These stupid-ass little simple screens. We had screen passes called for Marshawn Lynch, and then he brings in DeAndre Washington for 3rd-and-1 situations. What are you doing? What are you smoking? You know we got Jalen Richard. He's a receiving back. Marshawn Lynch was bringing into the Raiders to run the ball on 3rd-and-1, to run the ball on 4th-and-1, to kill the clock late in the game. How do you not feed Marshawn Lynch? He's played his best 3 games, the past 3 games of the season. Marshawn Lynch has looked phenomenal the past 3 games, and he ended the day this weekend with 7 carries for 61 yards. That's 8.7 yards per carry. How the fuck are you not running the ball with all these 3-and-out, 3-and-out, 3-and-out? God damn it, give Marshawn the ball on 1st and 2nd down. Give Derek a 3rd-and-short. Do something different, because this is just purely pathetic. God damn it, Todd Downing. You're fucking done in my book. I want nothing to do with you. Like I said, the Raiders season isn't completely done yet, because we still got a chance at the wild card. Hell, who knows with the Chiefs and the Los Angeles Super Chokers. They could choke at the end of the year too. But as of today, God damn it, Todd Downing, you cost us the AFC West. You fucked up, and I'm just truly disappointed. If I want to look for anything positive in this game, I could give some shout-outs to the defense. Even though we gave up 25 points, we held them to 4 or 5 field goals. There were multiple times where the Raiders' defense was on the field for just way too long. Khalil Mack had a couple big sacks. Bruce Irvin had a couple big sacks. Mack's sack held him to a field goal. Bowman had a sack that held him to a field goal. Our DBs were getting burned left and right, but I like what John Pagano has been doing since taking over for Ken Norton Jr. He's moving Mack all over the place, getting a lot more quarterback pressures, and even with the DBs that we got, with Conley hurt, with Amerson hurt, I think our DBs are playing decent. It's just our offense is truly pathetic right now. I said it in the very first podcast on the season preview. The Raiders would probably need 30 points a game to win anyways. Well, hey, the defense has been holding teams to 21, 25, whatever. This offense has been not just underachieving to my limits, but probably one of the most underachieving storylines in the entire NFL this year. Derek Carr went from an MVP candidate to a guy who was maybe still dealing with some back injuries. I don't know. We saw that early in this year when he got hurt. But, man, I don't know if those back injuries are lingering, because it seems like he's getting the ball real quick. He's not letting plays develop and getting the ball downfield. So as much shit as I talk about Todd Downing, of course, the player's got to go out there and execute too. But I just think this is a terrible play calling, and Todd Downing is not putting Derek Carr in a position to succeed. Of course, if everybody was catching balls, if everybody's doing everything right, our team looks a lot better, and we get the playoffs, we still got a chance. But as of today, the Raiders fucked up big this weekend. Todd Downing, I'm done with you. I want nothing more to do with you. I can't wait till the end of the year. Jack Del Rio says, well, I'm keeping you. Well, I guess we'll figure out until January 1st, because the day that the Raiders don't make the playoffs, I expect Todd Downing to be fired, bring in a new offense coordinator, start over. Jack Del Rio's got a couple things to look over himself, if Reggie McKenzie is even going to keep him. But as I've been saying all year long, I'm still not hitting the panic button, because we still got a chance to get in the wild card somehow, some way. The AFC has just been so bad this year that we're still only a game out of wild card and playoff contention. So, hey, we'll see how the chips fall. hey, we got to go out and win these next three games. We got the Cowboys, the Eagles, and the Chargers. It's win or go home time for the Raiders, and we got to win. But you know what it is, baby. Win, lose, or tie. It's Raider Nation till we die right here on the Bay's Golden Days. But let's go ahead and talk about something else from Week 14 of the NFL season, because the Raiders were just too damn depressing, giving up a win. I guess there's some good news in the Bay Area. Jimmy Garoppolo got back-to-back wins. We'll talk about everything that happened in Week 14 of the NFL season right here on the Bay's Golden Days, right after my man Primetime breaks down his top five players of the week.
Here goes my top five plays of the day. Remember the rules. You got to win to get in, baby. Number five. Let's go. My name's Jones. Hey, this guy was all over the field. The hit he put on Kamara and this big play right here sealed the deal for the Atlanta Falcons versus the Saints. Number four, Jordan Howard, 147 yards rushing. Two TDs versus the Bengals, back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons to start his career. LT, I think he's on to something.
Yes, he is.
Number three, A.J. Bouye. I love this man. And Jalen Ramsey, man. Hey, these guys are the best tandem of corners in the NFL. I can't wait to see who's going to be all pros, because you know I love me some Patrick Peterson. Shut down, locked down all day long, baby. These guys combined, three interceptions versus the Seahawks, 10 interceptions combined on the season, unbelievable. Number two, Shady McCoy, 156 yards rushing and a TD versus the Colts, sixth career 1,000-yard season. I think he's on his way, LT, for one of them jackets that you came back. You know what I'm saying? And number one, Big Ben, baby, 506 passing yards, two TDs versus the Ravens as the Steelers win their eighth straight game. I still think AB is the MVP.
500 yards.
That's crazy. You let somebody hit you for 500 yards, you lost your mind.
There you have it, Primetime's top five players of the week. But let's go ahead and talk about the top performances of the week. We already talked about the Raiders and the Chiefs, so let's go ahead and stay in that AFC West division. And we'll talk about the Broncos pulling off the upset, plus 1 point against the Jets to win you some money right here on the Bay's Golden Days. The Broncos got the job done and won 23-0 in a game that I didn't even want to bet on. I went back and forth on the podcast last week and said, Jets, Broncos. I guess I'll take the team that got the plus 1 points, and it ended up being the Broncos. And I guess my gut was right, because I thought this Denver defense could still hold the Jets to something. I said it on our season preview podcast. I didn't think the Jets would win a game, let alone five of them. So, hey, hats off to the Jets for coming out and trying to play respectably this year. But they got absolutely demolished by the Broncos, who have just lost seven straight. Well, they got back on track by beating the Jets 23-20. Nothing big this game, really. Trevor Siemian, who had 200 yards, did have a touchdown to Demaryius Thomas, who had his probably best game of the year so far. He had 8 catches, 93 yards to lead the Broncos. It really was that defense and Von Miller getting another sack. Sacks and sacks on sacks. He's got 10 sacks for multiple years in a row now. Whatever it is, Von Miller, one of the best defensive end slash outside linebackers in the league. Of course, right next to Khalil Mack. Hey, respect to him, but no respect for the Broncos. No respect for anybody in AFC West. It's Raiders against the world. Fuck them all. So I don't even care if the Broncos win. They got eliminated from playoff contention last week. So let's go ahead and keep on moving to a team that might sneak into the playoffs from the AFC West. And those are the Los Angeles Chargers, who have now won 7 of their last 9 after starting off 0-4. They cover the 6-point spread to win you some money right here on the Bay's Golden Days by beating the Redskins 30-13, and the Washington Redskins are officially eliminated from playoff contention, while the Chargers are trying to get back into the playoffs for the first time. Shit, they're just trying to get back over a 500 record for the first time since 2014, and Phillip Rivers is the man leading the charge. He came out a couple weeks ago, said, hey, there were some rumors about retirement, but hey, he's got his best record since 2014, I just said, and he threw for 319 yards, 2 touchdowns, and passed Warren Moon to get into the top 10 all-time in passing yards. So, hey, as much as I hate Phillip Rivers, respect for him to get in the top 10, I believe that draft class of Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, and Phillip Rivers, those three first quarterbacks who were drafted, are now three quarterbacks in the top 10, sitting at 8, 9, and 10 in passing yards. So I guess you could say that was one pretty good quarterback class, but hey, Phillip Rivers finally got some weapons on offense. Melvin Gordon is playing great, 22 carries, 78 yards. Tyrell Williams had a deep touchdown. touchdown. Keenan Allen has been playing phenomenal, having his best year since his rookie season. And don't look now, but the Chargers are tied for first place with the Chiefs in the AFC West. They will have a huge division matchup this weekend on Saturday, but we'll get into that into our Straight Cash Homie betting segment. For now, let's go ahead and keep it moving to the next game we're going to talk about. As we stick from the AFC West against the NFC East, let's go ahead and talk about the NFC East as the Cowboys and the Giants faced off, and the Cowboys finally got back on track, winning by -4 points, winning some money right here on the Bay's Golden Days. They won 30-10 over the Giants, and this was a game that was close at halftime. The Giants actually had the game tied 10-10 at halftime before Eli Manning fell apart in the second half, throwing 2 interceptions. It was Dak Prescott coming up huge on the day once again without Ezekiel Elliott. He will be done for 2 more weeks, but Dak having his best game without Zeke, throwing for 332 yards and 3 touchdowns. He connected with Dez Bryant on a long slant touchdown that busted for at 6 yards. Dez ended the day with 3 catches, 73 yards, and a touchdown. But it was this running back by committee that is stepping up without Ezekiel Elliott. Alfred Morris had 19 carries, 62 yards, but it has been Rod Smith who has been coming in as the extra playmaker. He's not only getting it done on the ground, but through the air, as he had 6 catches for 113 yards and a touchdown. A lot of people didn't even know who Rod Smith was before the season. I only knew him because he was the brother of Jalen Smith, the second-year linebacker out of Notre Dame that the Cowboys have. So, hey, that's a cool story to see for them. And the Cowboys are now sitting at 7-6. They'll try to sneak back into the playoff race, into that wild card race next week when they take on the Raiders. But, hey, I don't think it's going to happen for them, but we'll get into that once we get into the preview. We'll stick with the team that won the NFC East now, and that is the Philadelphia Eagles. And guess what? They also won you some money because I told you to take them +2 when the week started. By the time it came around, it was a pick'em game, but I still took the Eagles no matter what, and they got the win 43-35 to clinch that NFC East. But as I said in the beginning of the podcast, it's not the Bay's Golden Days for the Philadelphia Eagles, because just like the Raiders did last year, turning things around, getting into the playoffs with a second-year quarterback, Carson Wentz / Derek Carr, your quarterback goes down with an injury, and all of a sudden you're running around like a chicken with your head cut off. I guess it's not as bad of a situation for the Eagles. They got Nick Foles, who has been proven as a starter before. He's actually put together a couple good seasons as the starting quarterback for the Eagles. It's not like you're relying on Matt McGloin and Connor Cook to get a win in a playoff game. At least you got Nick Foles, who got a little bit of experience. But like I said, I see those parallels a lot between Carson Wentz and Derek Carr, the way that they both evolved so much in their second season, the way that Derek Carr was looking like an MVP. It's the same way that Carson Wentz looking like an MVP in his sophomore year. But unfortunately, he has torn his ACL and he is done for the year. But all respect to Carson Wentz. I've been talking about him all season long. I said on our NFL season preview podcast that he would have a better year statistically than Dak Prescott. Well, it looks like their team as a whole is having a better year than the Cowboys and Dak Prescott. I want to give respect to Carson Wentz for just staying so tough. And he actually stayed in the game and threw a touchdown on 4th and goal to break a Philadelphia Eagles franchise record for most touchdown passes in a season with a torn ACL. That kid's got some heart. That kid's got a future. And hey, Eagles fans, I know you're probably a little bit disappointed. You're still in the playoffs. You still got Nick Foles who can potentially lead you, but I don't think he gets you to the Super Bowl. I think just like the Raiders, your hopes are kind of cut short with your young quarterback. But hey, they got something to look forward to for the future, no doubt about it. And Carson Wentz, a potential MVP candidate, gets his season cut short this year. But as I mentioned, the Eagles, now maybe they could rest up some of their players because they have clinched the NFC East. And they would be officially the number one seed in the playoffs if the season was to end today. But hey, it doesn't end today. There's still a couple more weeks. We'll see what happens. But let's go ahead and see what happened in the next couple games we'll talk about, because we had a game between the Niners and the Texans that it seems like everybody in the Bay Area is talking about. So let's just jump straight to that. Jimmy Garoppolo gets the win for the 49ers, 26-16. And guess what? They covered that 3-point spread right here on the Bay's Golden Days. I have just been hitting on the 49ers all year long. And I told you, take the 49ers for the upset. Hey, they could just lose by 3 points, but they ended up getting the win. And Jimmy Garoppolo having his best game as a Niner. Well, hey, it's only game number 2, but now he is 2-0 after passing for 334 yards, a touchdown. Did have an interception early, but it did not do too much damage as they were able to come back and get the W after going down in the first half. Carlos Hyde had 14 carries, 78 yards, and a touchdown. Jimmy Garoppolo honestly has looked poised in the pocket. He hit Marquise Goodwin 6 times for 106 yards. And I like what I'm seeing so far out of Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm not liking it as much as some of these Niner fans in the Bay Area here are already crowning him the next Tom Brady. Carlos Hyde said, hey, he reminds me of Tom Brady. Well, Carlos Hyde, you never played with Tom Brady. So I guess that's an obvious comparison just because he came from New England, but everybody's just going to say Tom Brady, Tom Brady. I'm going to say slow your roll. You beat the Bears and you beat the 4-9 Texans. Slow the fuck down. Yes, Jimmy has looked like an improvement because you haven't had quarterback play since Alex Smith left and Colin Kaepernick just started running all over the place. You haven't had solid quarterback play since then. So Jimmy Garoppolo is looking like a savior already in San Francisco. But let's see him face a team with a winning record. All right? Can we get that far? No, I mean, Jimmy G, good for the Niners. I want to see both teams competitive. Why not? Sure, why not? But all of a sudden, we went from 0-9 to 1-9 to 1-10 to the best 0-10 football team in football to we don't even care about football to Jimmy Garoppolo's back and we're in the playoffs the next 2 to 3 years. We're already better than the Raiders. I've heard that on 95.7, the local radio station. They're having comparisons about who's better between Garoppolo and the Raiders. They're even having comparisons saying who's better between the 49ers and the Raiders. And I'm just sitting here like, God damn, we live in a fucking Monday morning quarterback reaction world where everything is just predicated on the game before, the last game. What's the last thing you've seen? Because obviously the Raiders aren't playing against sub-500 teams. Do we look like MVPs when we were beating the Dolphins and the fucking Broncos? Shit, I'm not going to toot our own horn over that. I don't know. I couldn't name fucking more than three guys on the Niners who would start on the Raiders. Maybe Joe Staley at right tackle. Maybe Eric Reed. Who even knows? He doesn't even play too well. But hey, I'm getting off topic here. Congratulations to the Niners. You won two games in a row, and you're continuing to fuck yourself out of a draft pick. I don't get the strategy out of that, but hey, it's good for morale. It's good for some tape on film if you're going to trade Garoppolo. I don't know. Niner fans think they got their quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo. I still want to see a few more games, but if they keep on winning, they're just screwing themselves out of a first-round draft pick, like I've said all season long. So we'll see what happens with the 49ers, but hey, they're now sitting with a 3-10 record. We'll see how it plays out for them, but who really cares? As long as they keep winning us some money right here on the Bay's Golden Day, we're all good with that. Let's keep it moving now in that NFC West as we had a game between the Seahawks and the Jaguars, which was probably one of the best games of the week. The Jaguars were able to pull it off 30-24, and man, oh man, what a game this was as the Jaguars clinched their first winning season in over a decade. And it was super surprising that they were able to do it against the Seahawks. I took the Seahawks +3 for the upset, but hey, this Jaguars defense is no joke. We've talked about it all season long. They lead the NFL in sacks. They lead them in yardage. They lead them in pretty much everything. A.J. Boye and Jalen Ramsey had a combined 3 interceptions off of Russell Wilson to make his day just terrible. And man, oh man, things were getting chippy between these two teams as we almost saw a brawl at the end of the game. And hey, the Jaguars came out and said, hey, teams aren't used to getting beat by the Jaguars, and they got beat up for 60 minutes. Blake Bortles is taking shots out of people, and Blake Bortles is actually playing his best football of his career right now. He threw for 268 yards and 2 touchdowns. He hasn't turned the ball over at all in December, and he has truly improved in my eyes, and we've heard it from Leonard Fournette, who came in and said, hey, Blake Bortles didn't have no run game. He didn't have anything. He didn't have me, basically, and now he does, and he's better, which I think is pretty funny because those running backs, TJ Yeldon and Chris Ivey, are still on the team, so watch out when you're throwing stones in a glass house, Leonard Fournette. But hey, at the end of the day, Fournette is back, rushing for over 100 yards. This defense is playing great. Bortles is playing his best of the year, and the Jaguars got a huge win over the Seahawks, 30-24. Moving on to our next game now, we'll stick with another matchup between the NFC West and the AFC South. The Titans ended up losing to the Cardinals, 12-7, to lose you some money right here on the Bay's Golden Days. We took them as a 3-point favorite, but once again, the Titans have just been falling apart so far this year. They're still sitting with an 8-5 record and have a chance to win the AFC South. But hey, now they gave the Jaguars a 1-game separation, and it's looking like the Titans are going downhill because Marcus Mariota. What's going on? We've heard about sophomore struggles. Is this a junior struggle? This is his third year now, and he's sitting with 10 touchdowns and 14 interceptions. I did not expect that at all, especially after his rookie season. I believe he didn't even throw an interception in the red zone. Next thing you know, he's come back and he's throwing picks left and right. He ended the day with 159 yards, 2 interceptions. They couldn't get anything going on the ground with DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry, and it was his Cardinals defense stepping up once again. I didn't think that the Titans would lose to Blaine Gabbert, no Adrian Peterson. The Cardinals pretty much got nothing to play for while the Titans are still going for a division title, and they blow it. They lose 12-7 in a terrible game. Got to give my shout outs once again to Larry Fitzgerald. OG Larry Fitz ended the day with 5 catches, 44 yards to move past Randy Moss into third all-time in receiving yards. Yes, the Cardinals season has been a wash. That's what it's been most of Larry Fitzgerald's career, but hey, as long as he gets a quarterback, somebody to throw him the ball, he's going to keep on making plays, and he keeps on breaking records left and right. But hey, we're going to talk about OGs breaking records. Let's go ahead and keep it moving now from Larry Fitz to Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers. They got a huge division win Sunday night, 39-38 over the Ravens. Ben Roethlisberger threw for over 500 yards, the first player in the NFL season to throw for over 500 yards in three games this season. The man had 44 completions, threw the ball more than 60 times. Wow, wow, wow. 44 completions is the second most all time, and he threw half of them, it seemed like, to Antonio Brown, who ended the day with 11 catches, 213 yards. This was one hell of a comeback. The Steelers were losing, and they ended up winning their third straight game by a field goal, and it truly was on the backs of Big Ben and Antonio Brown. Let me just tell you what Antonio Brown has done over the last four games. 39 catches, 627 yards, and 6 touchdowns. The man already has over 1,500 yards this season with 3 games left. Hell, if this streak keeps on playing like he's been playing the last 4 games, he could get to 2,000 yards. And then we're going to really have to start talking about Antonio Brown for the MVP conversation, because he has looked phenomenal this year. We saw earlier in this year when him and Big Ben were having a spat on the sideline, but they look more in sync than ever right now, and they have been putting the team on their back as the Steelers. Like I mentioned, 3 straight wins by field goal. It comes down to the very end every single game, and they didn't even cover the spread once again. I tried talking myself into it last week. I said the smart bet is the Ravens minus 5.5. Well, this weekend I went and just took the Steelers on a teaser, so all they had to do was win. But like I said, these games are always close in the AFC North. The Ravens screwed themselves after Alex Collins put on a phenomenal performance on the ground, rushing for 120 yards after 18 carries. He did get into the end zone as well, but like I said, it was Big Ben, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell even got into the mix with 2 touchdowns of himself, and the Steelers come back and get a huge W, 39-38, to clinch that AFC North title. And let's keep it moving now in the AFC North. The Bengals are a team that's looking like they're just falling to the pit of misery. Dilly, dilly, dilly for the Steelers and everybody else in the AFC North, because the Bengals have truly fell apart, and they lost to the Bears this weekend. Bears. Yes, you lost to Mitchell Trubisky and the Bears, 33-7. This is a game that the Bengals were favored at home, -6. How do you put up a fight on Monday Night Football against the Steelers and come back and get absolutely smoked by the Bears? Duh, Bears and Jordan Howard. Damn, primetime is going to have to start getting his name right in the top 5 players of the week, because Jordan Howard once again rushes for over 1,000 yards. He's the first Bears running back to start his career with back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. He carried the ball 23 times for 147 yards and 2 touchdowns. Even Tariq Cohen was running the ball. Kendall Wright had over 100 yards. Hell, I've never seen Mitchell Trubisky pass for this many yards in his life. 271 yards and a touchdown. While Andy Dalton threw 141 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. Giovanni Bernard was the only offensive piece for the Bengals. They were able to shut down AJ Green somehow, and I don't even know what happened, but the Bears just absolutely ransacked the Bengals, 33-7. And then we'll stick in that division. We got another matchup between the NFC North and the AFC North as the Packers and the Browns faced off, and the Packers got the W, 27-21, to cover that 3-point spread. But it was not easy to cover, because it took Davante Adams getting a walk-off touchdown in overtime to cover that spread for the Packers. The Packers get the W, -6 points, and man, oh man, what a game it was as the Cleveland Browns blew a 21-7 lead. Yes, the Cleveland Browns had a fourth quarter lead for the first time all season, and they blew it. Even LeBron James was live tweeting, and they blew it. LeBron, go back to being a Cowboys fan. Go back to being a Yankees fan. You don't even rep Cleveland. I don't know why you're trying to pretend like you're a Browns fan. Hell, they're 0-13. Who even wants to root for the Cleveland Browns? The Cleveland Browns are the first team in NFL history to start back-to-back years 0-13. Man, oh man, it's got to be rough being a Cleveland Browns fan. DeShone Kizer had 3 touchdowns, the most he's had in one game so far this year, but 2 big interceptions, that overtime interception to set up Brent Hundley and Davante Adams. Davante had a huge game with 10 catches, 84 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Of course, that walk-off touchdown in overtime. On the other side of the ball, Josh Gordon did get his first touchdown since December of 2013, but it was not enough as Isaiah Crowell has his best rushing attack, 19 carries, 129 yards. The Browns just completely fall apart late and the Packers stay alive, not only in the NFC North, but for that wild card spot. And the man Aaron Rodgers is returning this week. Uh-oh, don't look now, but here come the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers trying to surge back and get into the playoffs and make some noise in that NFC North. But let's go ahead and talk about the first place team in that NFC North. They actually gave up a game to the Packers if they want to get back into it by the Vikings losing to the Panthers 31-24. This is a game that I was going back and forth internally, and I just thought the Vikings, because of how efficient they've been on third down on both sides of the balls, they were the number one team on offense and on defense. I thought they could force Cam Newton to make mistakes and that they would get the win, but that was not the case, as Cam Newton only threw for 137 yards and a touchdown, did have an interception, but he had a huge 60-yard run to set up a game-winning touchdown late in the day. It was Jonathan Stewart, had 16 carries for 103 yards and 3 touchdowns. Jonathan Stewart getting into the end zone three times. I'm not sure too many people expected that at all, especially against his dominant Vikings defense. Devin Funchess was contained by Xavier Rhodes for most of the game, but he was able to break free for Cam Newton's only touchdown. And it was his Panthers defense that was just all over Case Keenum and all over everybody for the Vikings. Honestly, Latavius Murray was shut down. McKinnon only had 46 yards. Thielen did get over 100 yards, but that was a little bit late in the game. This Panthers defense had 6 sacks. Luke Kuechly, 14 tackles and a sack. Julius Peppers had a couple sacks. And Julius Peppers, at what, age 38, is leading the team in sacks. Julo Pepper, do it for the Panthers, you OG. Keep on killing it, as Case Keenum threw 2 interceptions, 3 turnovers total. That's 3 turnovers in one game after only having 5 in the first 11 games combined. Case Keenum, you got to take care of the ball. You got to be a game manager. There's people who said he should have been in the MVP conversation. No, game manager, Alex Smith type. If the Vikings want any chance of winning in the playoffs, they cannot turn the ball over and they have to play sound defense. They cannot allow 31 points to a team like the Panthers, because the Panthers, sitting at 9-4, only a game back now in the NFC South, they're going to try to get in, no doubt about it. But let's keep on moving now, as we had another matchup between that NFC North and the South. The Lions and the Buccaneers faced off. The Lions started off as a +2 underdog, and the line actually went down to a pick'em game, and I said pick the Lions. The Lions ended up winning 24-21 as Matthew Stafford puts away his hand injury and throws for 331 yards, a touchdown. Did have 2 interceptions to let the Buccaneers back in the game late, but they are able to end it with Eric Ebron catching 10 passes for 94 yards, and the Lions are somehow staying alive with a 7-6 record, but I don't think they're going to be able to chase down anybody. If anything, the Packers will probably get into the playoffs before the Lions, at least in my opinion. So we'll see how the NFC North plays out. Who knows? Maybe Case Keenum shits the bed, the Vikings fall apart. Anything can happen, especially in 2017, all the parody and crazy shit that we've seen so far in the NFL this year. I'm talking about anything could happen. So let's go ahead and keep it moving out to that Buccaneers division, because the Buccaneers are eliminated the playoffs, but the Saints, the Vikings, the Panthers, everybody else is still playing for a playoff spot, and the Falcons get probably the biggest win of the week, as I told you to take them plus the 1.5 points spread, and the Falcons pull off the upset at home 20-17 over the Saints, and they can now win out the NFC South. If they win out the rest of the games this year, they've got to play the Saints again, and it's pretty funny, they could end up playing the Saints 3 times in a month. They played them last week, they won't play them this week, they'll play them next week, and then they could still get them in the first round of the playoffs. Hey, back and forth. I'll watch a game between Matt Ryan and Drew Brees any day of the week, and this was a game that honestly it looked like the Falcons should have lost. Matt Ryan threw for 221 yards, did have a touchdown and 3 interceptions. And now Matt Ryan is 2-0 when he throws 3 interceptions in a game. What? Did I read that stat right? 2-0 when he throws 3 interceptions in a game? How is that even possible? I don't even know, because they came back late, and it was Drew Brees who needed to get a touchdown late, and I thought he would get it when the Falcons scored. They left too much time on the clock for Drew Brees, but it was Deion Jones, the MVP of this game, as he had a game-ending INT just straight levitated into the air and took the ball right out of the air from Drew Brees and ended the game for the Saints. He had 13 tackles, and he was actually the one who knocked Alvin Kamara out of the game. Alvin Kamara really did play a big factor. It looked like the Saints offense did really slow down a lot without him after Deion Jones took him out of the game. It really did change the game plan, the game flow, and changed everything. And Deion Jones, for that reason, you get my MVP of the game. The game-ending INT, you took out their best player, 13 tackles. The man was all over the place, and it was a huge win for the Falcons. As I said, they went out. They win the NFC South, so we got a lot of shit that can happen in the NFC South. But let's go ahead and look at another division game where we saw the Patriots and the Dolphins face off. The Patriots were favored by 11.5 points. Yes, 11 points, and they lost by 7 points to the Dolphins. That ended their 8-game win streak, and now Tom Brady is 7-9 when playing in Miami. How the hell does this happen? After Miami got embarrassed back-to-back-to-back weeks on primetime football, the Raiders absolutely smacked them. Everybody killed them. And now they want to come out on Monday Night Football. Are the Patriots just so used to playing in the snow in December that when they go to a warm climate like Florida, they just fuck up? I don't know. Jay Cutler threw 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. Kenyon Drake had over 190 yards of total offense, got absolutely dominated, and the Dolphins D was coming up. Xavien Howard had 2 interceptions. Damn, Tom Brady doesn't even throw 2 interceptions most seasons. He threw 2 in the same game, and they went 0 for on third down. Yes, what is it? 0 for 10, 0 for 11, 0 for 12. Tom Brady cannot complete a third down conversion. It looked like the suspension of Robert Gronkowski really did have an impact in this game because this offense looks stagnant. They just signed Kenny Britt to a contract. Maybe they'll get him in there, but Brandon Cooks was shut down this game, and this was just an absolutely embarrassing showcase on Monday Night Football as the Patriots lose to the Dolphins, give away that first seed. Now we got the Steelers sitting in the first seed of the playoffs, and they will be facing off next week. That's going to be one hell of a game, but we still got one more game to talk about before we get into week 15 of Straight Cash, homie. That is the Colts and the Bills, and what was a goddamn blizzard out there this weekend. I told you I wouldn't take the Colts all year without Andrew Luck. Well, hey, the Bills didn't even have Tyrod Taylor. They had Peterman in the game, and they played in a goddamn snowstorm. So I told you, take the Colts plus 4 for the upset, and they almost won it. I swear to God, they came in. They scored a touchdown late in the fourth quarter. They scored a 2-point conversion to go up 8-7. They threw a flag. How dare they? Even if they would have missed the 2-point conversion and lost 7-6, we still would have covered the spread. But no, what do you know? Vinatieri comes in, kicks a goddamn boomerang up into the uprights to tie the game on the extra point. And then he wants to miss a field goal in overtime to lose it. God damn it, Adam Vinatieri, you're costing me some goddamn money here. But hey, it was a good game, back and forth. I didn't expect it to be too high scoring. This was a game that you should have definitely took the under on because of what was a true snowstorm. The only man that was rushing the ball at all was LeSean McCoy. He ran 32 times for 156 yards and a touchdown, that walk-off touchdown in overtime to win it. Get this, there were 156 total yards of passing the whole entire game. LeSean McCoy had 156 yards rushing. That's how bad this game was. That's how bad the snow was. Hell, the Bills were offering free tickets to fans who would come and shovel snow before the game. I think they were selling on Game Time and StubHub for like $3-4 a piece. No one wanted to go to this game, but the Bills won it. They should have won it at home. They were wearing all red. The Colts were white out, couldn't even find themselves in the snow. Terrible decision. And at the end of the day, the Bills get a huge win, 13-7, improved to 7-6, and they're still alive in the wild card race. And god damn it, seems like everybody in the AFC is involved still in the wild card race. So let's go ahead and see what the matchups are next week and see how this wild card is going to play out, how the division is going to play out, how the rest of the 2017 NFL season is going to start off. We're going to go ahead and hop right into week 15 of the 2017 season. Where's my man Randy at?
Straight cash, homie.
That's right, it's time for Straight Cash, homie, right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast, where we go ahead and look at every single NFL game from week 15 of the 2017 NFL season and give you our bets, our picks, and everything against the spread right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast. We're going to kick it off as always with the Raiders versus the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football. The Cowboys will travel to the West Coast to take on the Raiders, where both teams are fighting for their playoff lives. The Cowboys are sitting with a 7-6 record, while the Raiders are now sitting at 6-7. The Cowboys are favored by 3 points, and I got the Raiders for an upset on Sunday Night Football. You know why? Because Ezekiel Elliott is still suspended. Yes, I know the Cowboys have been playing the past couple weeks better with Alfred Morris and Rod Smith at running back. Tyron Smith is back at left tackle, and their offensive line is finally starting to look healthy. But with no Ezekiel Elliott, I'm sorry, you just don't put no fucking fear in my heart. Honestly, Dak Prescott has regressed this year. He only goes deep fucking once or twice a game. I think if we contain Dez, hell, I'm not even too concerned about Dez. I think it's more about containing Jason Witten over the middle because he's Mr. Reliable. I'm not honestly too threatened by this Cowboys offense. I think this will be a high-scoring game because I'm not too impressed with the Raiders defense also. We've been getting after the quarterback more. It's going to be huge. That's the one matchup to watch this week. This will probably be the best matchup of the year if you're talking about the battle of the interior line, Khalil Mack versus Tyron Smith. If Khalil Mack can somehow disrupt this line, hell, I don't even want to see him against Tyron Smith this whole entire game because the great thing that John Pagano has been doing doing is moving Khalil Mack around. I want to see Khalil Mack lined up over center. I want to see him moved up over a guard. Hell, I want to see him and Bruce Irvin stacked up on the same side like they used to do with him and Aldon Smith when they first came into the league. Hell, I want to see Khalil Mack all over the field. Bowman is going to be huge trying to slow down that run game at all, because we all know anybody can damn near run through the holes that the Cowboys offensive line produces. I think that this will be a high scoring game. I think it'll take the over. Hell, I said it earlier in the year to all my Cowboys buddies. I got the Raiders winning 42-38. Hell, the Raiders offense haven't looked that good, but I'm not shying away from that prediction. I think the Raiders will put up points against this Cowboys defense. Sean Lee has been the only defender for them. If we can slow down DeMarcus Lawrence on the corners and Sean Lee doesn't just disrupt everything, I think we can beat these Cowboys DBs deep. I think Crabtree should have a better game coming off of struggling the past couple two. Hopefully, if Amari Cooper is healthy, that will be a huge factor for this offense. Jared Cook, we got to get him more involved. Hell, fucking A, take the play calling away from Todd Downing. That's the only reason why I'm scared to bet on the Raiders these days, is Todd Downing, not because of the talent that the Raiders have, but because of the offense coordinator. We already fired our defense coordinator. It looks like the offense coordinator is going to be done by the end of the season, but whatever. We still got a couple games left. If we win out, we can win this wild card. I got the Raiders plus 3 points Sunday night against the Dallas Cowboys, because even if they get those 3 points, Dan Bailey has been missing kicks like a motherfucker, so they ain't gonna cover. Let's go Raiders, beat them Cowboys on Sunday Night Football, and then we'll go ahead and look at the games on Sunday. Well, we'll go ahead and look at Thursday night first. We had the Broncos and the Colts in an absolutely terrible game. Drew Brees is right. Put an end to Thursday Night Football. No one even wants to watch this anymore. Everybody's complaining about injuries. I don't get why they just make it so where the Thursday night game everybody has is after their bye week. Seems like it would solve a lot of the problems about short weeks, but hey, I'm not in charge of the NFL. I'm not Robert Goodell fucking asking for private jets and life insurance for life when fucking someone like Ryan Shazier doesn't even have life insurance for his fucking back that gave out. So fuck off, Goodell. But that's for another rant and another podcast. Let's pick these games, Broncos and Colts. I said I wasn't picking the Colts all year without Andrew Luck. Well, I picked them last week, and they screwed me over, so I'm not picking them again. The Broncos defense, I'm going to hope for the same thing they did last week against the Jets, so I will take the Broncos in the defense. This will probably be an under on the game. It's probably going to be the worst Thursday night game of the year, but I will take the Broncos minus 2.5 points to get the win by a field goal. Then we move on to Sunday morning, where we got the Lions, Tigers, and Bears. Oh my, yes, we got the Lions and the Bears facing off in Detroit. The Detroit Lions are favored by 5.5 points. Got the win last week. Matthew Stafford still dealing with his hands injuries a little bit. I just don't got too much faith in the Lions. Like I said earlier, I think the Packers have a better chance of getting to the playoffs over the Lions. And the Bears have been playing better the last couple of weeks. I might have to take the Bears plus 5.5. Ah, that's a close one. I don't even want to bet on this one. But the way that the Bears have been playing and the Lions have been so disappointing, I think the Lions win by a field goal. So I think the Bears and the points are the better bet. Moving on next, we got the Chargers and the Chiefs on Saturday. Damn, these are some Saturday games. I forgot to even mention that. We're not even on Sunday yet. The NFL taking over Saturdays because there's no more college football. We got the Chargers and the Chiefs. 5:25 Saturday night, and this is really the game for the AFC West title right here. They're both sitting with a 7-6 record. The Chargers are favored by 1 point at home. I think the Chargers got a better offense. The Chiefs should have a better defense. No, I can't even say that. Chargers defense has been playing pretty well, underrated this year. The Chargers probably should win this game, but if I know anything about the Chargers, they're the chokers, and the Chiefs are playing at home. The Chiefs got a huge momentum win last week against the Raiders. I will take the Chiefs plus 1 point at home for the upset. Then we finally get to Sunday. Goddamn, I've already teased you so many times. Sunday morning, we got Dolphins and the Bills in an even pick'em game. This is going down in Buffalo, so I'm expecting probably another blizzard. For that reason alone, I think the Bills play better in the snow than the Dolphins. Yep, seems pretty good to me. I'll take the Bills in a pick'em game. Moving on next, we got the Packers and the Panthers. And this is a real interesting game for me because the Panthers are favored by 3 points. They've got a 9-4 record while the Packers are sitting at 7-6. But as I mentioned, Aaron Rodgers is returning. The return of discount double check. And I might have to roll with the Packers plus 3 points for the upset. As soon as you insert Aaron Rodgers into that offense, it's a completely different offense. Everybody knows that. And I'm really excited to see Jordan Nelson just get back into the offense, because him and Aaron Rodgers, they're up there on the same level with Antonio Brown and Ben Roethlisberger, with Matt Ryan and Julio Jones, with all those people who just got great connection, great chemistry, all that. And he's finally going to be back. Aaron Rodgers returned. Jordan Nelson should return with him. And I think the Packers get the job done. Plus 3 on the road in Carolina. The Ravens and the Browns face off in Cleveland. Cleveland will look to get their first win of the year, and I don't think they're going to get it. After the Ravens almost put off the upset last week, only losing by 1 point against the Steelers on Monday Night Football, I can't imagine them losing to the Cleveland Browns. -7 is a little sketchy because it seems like every game in the AFC North is decided by a field goal or a touchdown. So the Ravens got to win by more than a touchdown. touchdown, but they just put up 30 on the Steelers. They should be able to do that against the Browns too. I will take the Ravens -7 over the Browns. Next up, we got the Texans and the Jaguars in an AFC South division game. If only Deshaun Watson wasn't hurt, this would be one hell of a game. Instead, we got the Jaguars favored by 10.5 points over Tom Savage and the Houston Texans. Damn, 10 points is a lot, but I think the Jaguars will pretty much shut out this Texans offense, dealing with injuries at running back, dealing with injuries at quarterback, dealing with injuries everywhere, really. I think the Jaguars will be able to shut them down, and I guess they'll get the win by 10 points. They should blow them out. I'll take the Jaguars -10.5 to get the W over the Texans. And then next up, we got the Bengals going into Minnesota to take it on the Vikings. The Vikings are favored by 10.5. Damn, Case Keenum, the way you played last week, I don't know if I want to bet on you. -10 points, but the Bengals got absolutely dogged on by the Bears last week, so the Vikings should be able to shut them down, probably shut them out, put a big goose egg on the board. So I will take the Vikings, regrettably, -10.5 points. That's a big spread. I don't really like that one too much. Next up, we got the Jets and the Saints, and this is even a bigger spread. Hell, I wanted to get away from big spreads. They keep on growing and growing on me, from 10 to 10.5 to 15 points. The Saints are favored over the Jets. Yes, 15, count them. They got to win by more than 2 touchdowns. If you can somehow tease that down to 13.5, if they just win by 2 touchdowns, that's a lot already. That's a goddamn lot of points. The Jets have been playing above expectations. Like I said, I didn't see them having 5 wins this year, and here they are. But at the end of the day, I think the Saints really do have to bounce back. They got to prove a message after losing last week to the Falcons. They got to come back with a strong win and a deciding win. So I think that they win, they get up early, and they put the game away. So I will take the Saints -15. God damn, these are some big point spreads this week. Moving on next, we got the Eagles and the Giants. And the Eagles are favored by 7.5 points. And this is a pretty big point spread for the Eagles with Nick Foles. I know Nick Foles, as I said, he's had some success in the past as a starter quarterback for the Eagles. But first week starting, you got to win by more than a touchdown. If this was 6.5, I'd take the Eagles every day of the week. The Giants and Eli Manning have been shit in the bed, so I can't bet on them. So I'm just going to have to stick with the Eagles. I think this will be probably a closer game than 7.5. The Giants and the points might be the smarter bet, but I'm not going to bet on Eli and no weapons. The Eagles might have to rally around Foles, and I think they will. So I'll stick with the Eagles -7.5 points. Next up, we got the Cardinals and the Redskins. The Redskins are favored by 4.5 points. That's kind of a head scratcher. I guess Blaine Gabbert ain't never going to get no points in a game, but they're 6-7. The Redskins are 5-8. The Cardinals have been playing better the last couple weeks. They've been keeping games close. So for that reason alone, I think this game, if anything, will be decided by a field goal if the Cardinals do not pull off the upset. So go ahead and give me the Cardinals for the upset, +4.5 points over the Redskins. Next up, we got the Rams and the Seahawks in a game that could decide the NFC West. The Seahawks are going for the season sweep, and they're trying to send the Rams down to the wild card round. The Seahawks are favored by 1.5 points. They lost last week to the Jaguars. We all know how good the Jaguars defense has been. The Rams defense has been improved this year, but at the end of the day, I think I just got to stick with Russell Wilson over Jared Goff. I'm just still not too convinced in Jared Goff, because him, it was the same thing that everybody was saying about Carson Wentz earlier this year, that they had a weak schedule, that they haven't really played anybody. Well, hey, now he's got this chance against the Seahawks. We all know it's not the Seahawks' defense with Cam Chancellor and Richard Sherman and everybody getting hurt, because they already beat Jared Goff with a healthy Legion of Boom earlier this year. I think they'll still be able to pull it off behind the arm and legs of Russell Wilson. I think he gets the job done, gets Jimmy Graham involved, and the Seahawks will get the win -1.5. Then we get to the primetime game of the week. That is the Patriots and the Steelers. And man, oh man, ooh wee, this should be a high scoring game. I for sure look for the over on the points to be taken. The Steelers are favored by 3 points on the road. I think this might be a game that's decided by a field goal point. I think this is going to be a game that's just going to be decided by whoever has the ball last. That's as simple as that. I mean, I've said it on other podcasts. That's why I love baseball. There's no time limit. You can't just hold the ball and try to win the game. Nope. In football, you see it a lot. That's why Aaron Rodgers is 1-7 in overtime in his career, because he never gets the ball in overtime. He doesn't even get a chance. And that's what happens a lot in basketball and football and a lot of these sports that are determined by time. Whoever has the ball last is going to win the game. And I might just have to take the Steelers +3 for that little bit of insurance. They got torched last week by the Ravens, came back late. But hey, the Steelers have won 3 games in a row by the field goal. Why not make it 4 games in a row by a field goal? I will take the Steelers over the Patriots in a huge high-scoring game on Sunday. Give me the Steelers +3 points. And then we move on to the Bay Area, where we got the Santa Clara 49ers hosting the Tennessee Titans. Get this. The Titans have an 8-5 record. Yes, the 49ers have a 3-10 record. the 49ers are favored by 2 points. God damn, get off the fucking Jimmy Garoppolo hype train. Even Vegas is on this? Are you shitting me? They're giving the Niners a favorite over a potential playoff team in the Titans? No, 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 no. I've bet on the Niners all year long plus the points, and now they're the favorite over an 8-win team? No, 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 no. I ain't taking that. Give me Marcus Mariota. He better fucking beat the 49ers or I'll look so stupid on this podcast. But hey, give me the Titans plus 2 points over the Niners. All they got to do is win. If this was a pick'em, I'm taking the Titans. If the Titans were favored by 3, I'm taking the Titans. If the Titans were favored by 6.5, I still would have took the Titans. So this might be my lock of the week, or I could look like a dumbass and Jimmy Garoppolo could prove me wrong. But this will be Jimmy Garoppolo's biggest test yet because he's actually facing a team with a winning record. Titans aren't known for their defense, but hey, we'll see what Jimmy G can do this weekend. But I am taking the Titans plus 2 for the upset over the Niners. Oh, wow. And then we get to Monday Night Football. This should be a good game between the Falcons and the Buccaneers. Pretty high scoring. The Falcons, like I said, got to win out. If they win out, they can win the NFC South, and I think they got a chance to do that, and they'll do it against the Buccaneers, minus 6.5-point favorites. I think they cover that spread and get the job done, and I got the Falcons winning, and that is every game from Week 15 of the 2017 NFL season. And let's go ahead and recap it for you right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast. On Thursday Night Football, I got the Broncos minus 2.5. On Saturday, I like the Bears plus 5.5 to either lose by a field goal or pull off the upset. The Chargers and the Chiefs. Saturday night, I like the Chiefs plus 1 point. The Dolphins and the Bills on Sunday, I'll take the Bills in a pick'em. The Packers and the Panthers, I will take the Packers plus 3 in the return of Aaron Rodgers. Ravens and the Browns, I'll take the Ravens to get the job done minus 7. The Texans and the Jaguars, I'll take the Jaguars minus 10.5. The Bengals, Vikings, the Vikings minus 10.5, Jets, Saints, the Saints minus 15, the Eagles, Giants, the Eagles minus 7.5, the Cardinals, Redskins, I like the Cardinals for the upset plus 4.5, the Rams and the Seahawks, I like the Seahawks at home minus 1.5, the Patriots and the Steelers, I like the Steelers for the upset plus 3 at home, the Titans and the Niners, I like the Titans plus 2 for the upset on the road, the Cowboys and the Raiders, I like the Raiders for the upset plus 3 at home Sunday Night Football, and on Monday Night Football, I like the Falcons to beat the Buccaneers minus 6.5 points. And there you have it, folks. Every single game from Week 15 of the 2017 NFL season right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast on Straight Cash Homie, where we try to bring you some straight cash every single week and win you some money. We've been winning you money all year long on this podcast. I don't think we've had even a losing week. We've at least hit 8, 9, 10 teams every single week. We did that again this week, so I'm glad to see we can make you some money. I'm thankful that you guys are all listening to this podcast to begin with. Thank you for downloading, subscribing on iTunes, Google Play. You can check out our website, bgdsports.com. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, whatever the hell you use for social media these days, at Bay's Golden Days, to stay updated on everything instantly as we post it. New podcasts, new websites, new articles, everything we're bringing it to you. 2018 is going to be a big year for the Bay's Golden Days. Hopefully it turns around for the Bay Area. A lot of news in baseball, basketball, everything going on. And you know we're going to keep you updated all year long right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast. I'm Marcus Boucher. Thanks again for listening. I'm out.
Steady gold. Pony boy.